Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Felicia Schneider-Hahn, and this is Iron Man, from Newlyweds Afloat, to be published October 2015. His name is Raphael. We shortened it to Rafe. His grandmother calls him Rafe. When he started to say his own name, he pronounced it Fee. So that's what we call him now, Fee. We joke about it being the elemental symbol for iron, that he is Iron Man. It was a warm September Sunday when we took Fee and his baby sister, who was just a month old, out to the boat. When it was just the two of us, we lived on Mazurka, a 38-foot trawler, year-round in downtown Chicago. Now there are four of us, and we live on land in northern Minnesota, and every weekend we trek up to Knife River and our floating cabin on Lake Superior. On this particular Sunday, we planned to swing by the boat to check a few things, then go for a hike. We had just gotten to Mazurka. Mark was inside the cabin. Fee was with him. I was at the car, securing our month-old daughter to my chest in a newfangled wrap. As I walked out to the dock, Fee was just starting to climb out of the boat onto the stepladder. I stood behind him and watched him descend, carefully, as a 2-year-old does. His feet crossed, and I watched him straighten them out, watched as he figured out how to correct the cross. There was a brief moment where I saw myself watching him, watching my 2-year-old climb out of the boat, and wasn't I wise for letting him untangle his feet on his own, for not rushing in to help him. It was the bottom step he missed. His feet were not crossed. I don't know what happened. But as I watched, he slipped to the dock, lay on his back for a second, then rolled over into the water between the dock and Mazurka. He was not wearing a life jacket. I have spent more than a few days flogging myself for not putting him in a life jacket that afternoon. It was the rule that he wore one. But we were only going to be there a minute. And then it all happened so fast. On my day of reckoning, I'll get to watch the recap, and then I'll know what really happened. But today, what I recall is that I got down on my knees and, with Esther strapped to my chest, tried to reach for him. I grabbed hold of his sweatshirt, something so flimsy it just slipped through, and he went under. I screamed for Mark, then climbed down into the water. Maybe I fell. I think I must have climbed, because I kept one hand on the dock a few feet above me and was able to keep Esther's head above water as she stayed tight to my chest. I wanted to grab him with my free hand, but when I reached out, he was gone. In my mind's eye, I saw him in 8 feet of murky green Lake Superior water, sinking to the bottom. Mark came out calling, "Where is he?" "I don't see him," I yelled. Mark jumped in the water on the other side of the dock. Why he didn't jump in right where Fee fell, we don't know. Then, through the space between floats under the dock, I could see Fee treading water. He was inches from his dad. I yelled out, "I see him!" And I heard Mark saying, "I got you, I got you." I felt a rush of relief. He was safe. There was splashing and flailing, and I wondered if Mark really had him and could get him onto land. The small gap between the boat and the dock was closing in on me, and I pushed my back against Mazurka. I had to figure out a way to get us out of the water. My 4-week-old daughter wouldn't do well in lake water for too long. I wasn't sure what to grab or what to climb. I noticed Mark making his way along the side of the dock toward the stern of the boat where the swim platform and extendable ladder waited. I followed, keeping Esther's head above water. Remarkably, she wasn't crying, just looking around. At the platform, Mark had Fee on the ladder telling him to climb up. He was crying but following directions. Then Mark climbed up and put our son safely on the deck of the boat. I was still in the water with Esther, and I couldn't get a hold of the ladder well enough to leverage us out, so Mark reached down, and I raised our tiny wet newborn up to him. I climbed the ladder. We hurried inside the cabin, stripped everybody naked, and huddled together under sleeping bags to warm our kids. The funny thing was, the water wasn't even that cold. How does a 2-year-old fall into Lake Superior and make his way under a 6-foot-wide dock to where his dad randomly chooses to jump in to find him? We questioned Fee to find out what exactly happened. He wasn't talking. At first, we thought the whole experience had permanently scarred him, that he'd be mute for life. Then he asked to go up to the salon to play, then for snacks. He showed us how he dog paddled. He didn't seem scared at all. Fee does not swim. He's 2 years old. He doesn't like cold water. A couple months earlier, we took him to a water park, and he dog paddled in the hot tub while wearing a life jacket. We cruised for 10 days in the Apostles just before Esther was born, and while Mark and I swam in 80-degree water, Fee stayed on the beaches, proclaiming the water too cold. While I was in the lake that day, all I could think was that he was sinking. This is what people do. They fall in, panic, sink. This is how people drown. When I didn't see him, I was sure he was going down. In that brief 30-second window, all I could think was that he was going to die. That the most important person in my life would be gone in a second, and it would be my fault for not saving him. In the hours and days and now months since the event happened, I'm trying to sort it out. Fee has heard us tell the story so many times that he tells it too, taking on the role of the narrator and referring to us by our first names. I am convinced that what we witnessed was a miracle. But receiving a miracle does not bring breathless gratitude the way I once thought it would. Instead, I oscillate between guilt that I failed my son, guilt that I do not deserve this miracle, and awe that something like this could happen. We stood at a crossroads that day, and in another world, we lost our son to the bottom of a harbor. But in this world, some unseen hand reached down and taught the Iron Man to swim.
To listen to this episode again or subscribe to the podcast, and for more information about this author and her work, go to kumd.org and click on Programs, then Women's Words. Women authors of Minnesota who would like to read their work on Women's Words are welcome to submit their writing via email to kumd@kumd.org. Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood. The assistant producer is Haley Westfall. Music by Sharon Isbin. Funding for this program is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.